Wisconsin has the most drunk drivers per capita of any state in the entire country. It's the only state in the entire country that treats first-time drunken driving offenses not as a crime, but as a traffic violation.
Despite Wisconsin's drunk driving record, virtually all legislation that attempted to address the problem during the 2013-14 legislative session failed. Even laws that were authored by leading Republicans in a Republican-held legislature did not pass.
The Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism looked into what exactly happened to these bills, and Bill Leaders is with us. He's the money and politics editor at the Center for Investigative Journalism. Bill, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be here.
So take us back to the last session. What kind of drunk driving prevention measures were introduced in the legislature?
Well, there were a raft of proposals that were introduced, and all more than a dozen bills were introduced in the last session that would toughen the penalties on people who drink and drive. Some of them called for mandatory minimum sentences for people who injure or kill others. Some of them would have increased penalties for repeat offenders. One of the bills that was introduced by Republicans would have made first offense drunk driving a crime if the blood alcohol content or concentration of the person was more than 0.15, which is about twice the legal limit. There's a Democratic bill introduced later on which would have made first offense drunk driving in Wisconsin a crime, as it is in every other state, regardless of what the blood alcohol content of the person was. Both of those failed. There's even a measure that was introduced which would require all persons who are charged with drunken driving, whether it's a crime or whether it's a ordinance violation of forfeiture, to appear in court. Presently, it is still possible for some people to not even make a court appearance when they've been charged with driving under the influence. And this would have required that everyone who's charged show up. That passed one of the houses of the legislature on a vote overwhelmingly, passed the other house on a voice vote, and it went nowhere. In fact, all of the bills that were introduced by Republicans early in the session and just about all the bills that were introduced later in the session failed. They either passed one of the houses, the assembly, and didn't pass the Senate, or they didn't go anywhere at all.
So you've outlined several things that happen, and in many cases, it sounds like there's bipartisan support. So why is it failing?
Well, ultimately, it was up to the Senate Majority Leader to schedule votes on these bills, and that person is Senator Scott Fitzgerald, who did provide a substantive reply to my inquiries, and he outlined what I think is really the crux of the matter for some Republicans, is they do not feel that making the laws tougher is necessarily the right approach, that what they think needs to be done to deal with this problem of chronic offenders, it has to do with providing more in the way of treatment, to funnel more money to the drug and alcohol treatment courts, which have been set up. And Republicans have embraced this. They directed more $3 million of additional funding to drug courts in the last legislative session for a two-year period. And they're big supporters of this. And there's blowback against increasing penalties because of the cost that it entails, you know, additional cost of incarcerating people, additional court cost of processing people. Some of the estimates which came out in the course of the legislation have been decried as overblown. People talking about hundreds of millions of dollars that of additional expenses the state would incur. And supporters of the bills, including the person I spoke to, is Representative Jim Ott, a Republican lawmaker who, together with Senator Alberta Darling, introduced the initial package of six bills. He felt that those cost estimates were just overblown, that they didn't take into account what he expected would occur, is that toughening the laws would have a deterrent effect, and there'd be fewer people who'd be prosecuted, that there would be fewer people who'd be incarcerated, and so you couldn't just say that increasing the penalties is going to result in this much additional cost.
So to what extent is simply having a public debate over the matter increasing the awareness and possibly, decreasing the level of instance of drunk driving? Is that enough? Or, what's it going to take to get some laws passed in the State House?
Well, it depends who you ask. Is it enough? The number of people who are arrested in the state of Wisconsin for driving while intoxicated has been going down. The number of people who die in alcohol-related fatalities has been going down for a period of years. Several years ago, the average was more than 300 people a year who would die in alcohol-related crashes. Now it's averaging closer to about 200. The last count is 185. I believe that was in 2013. And so people who are advocating approaches other than making the laws tougher will point to it and say, look, we've achieved some reductions already, in part because we have made our laws tougher and in part because we've embraced these other approaches. But you can look at it the other way, and as the person I spoke to from Mothers Against Driving said, we still have 200 people a year who are dying in events that are 100% preventable, and it's unacceptable for us to tolerate that level of carnage.
So under the current law, what penalties do exist for drunk driving?
It depends on the offense, whether it's, you know, your third offense or fourth offense. In the state of Wisconsin, you can actually have a fourth offense, drunk driving, that is not counted as a felony if your fourth offense happens more than 5 years after your third offense. One of the bills that was introduced would have erased that type of a loophole and said if you get arrested three times for drunken driving, it's a felony. That means you can potentially face up to a year of incarceration. For some of the higher offenses, it can be much higher. One of the findings of Gannett Wisconsin Media, which ran my story and which ran a very enterprising series of stories, which you can find online at any of the Gannett newspapers. One of the findings is that many judges were not sentencing people to the minimums that were prescribed by the law. They weren't even following the law when it came to sentencing people to minimum amounts of sentences.
And you had said earlier that it's possible that under certain circumstances that you don't have to appear in court after after a drunk driving stop. I hope I'm summarizing that accurately.
Yeah, it's if your first offense, and I believe if you don't need an occupational license and you don't need some sort of dispensation and you just want to pay your fine and get on with your life, I think you can send in the payment and not even have a court appearance. Now, a state senator I spoke to, Tim Carpenter, who backed the package of bills that the Republicans introduced, in some cases he was the only Democrat who did so, I mean, he told me a very compelling story about his own father, who was an alcoholic and who was arrested in 1996 for driving under the influence and who did have to go to court. And it was a shattering experience for him, someone who respected authority, to have to stand before a judge and accept the humiliation of what he had done. And it prompted a change in his life. And he stopped drinking and he was sober for the last 13 years of his life. And so Tim Carpenter had seen with his own eyes and through his own experience how a mandatory court appearance could make a world of difference. Why something like that did not pass the legislature is a mystery to him.
And, you know, if you ask any, I don't know, some people on the street, they might say, well, wait a minute, as I watch the legislature debate this topic and agree that something needs to be done, but disagree over how it's going to be done, some might wonder what role lobbyists play in the discussion. Have you looked into that, and what did you find?
I did a little. The Tavern League of Wisconsin and Miller Coors are the big lobby groups, the ones who have registered and who have spent the most time and hence the most money on these issues. Neither of these groups opposed the majority of the bills that were introduced. In fact, the Tavern League has in the past supported legislation to toughen penalties for drunken driving. The only bill that the Tavern League opposed in this session was a bill that would make make it mandatory for anybody convicted of drunken driving in Wisconsin to have an interlock ignition device installed in his or her vehicle. That is MAD, Mothers Against Driving. That's the number one legislative priority of that organization in Wisconsin and nationally, is to promote these laws, which it feels has made a substantial difference in terms of reducing drunk driving fatalities in the 24 states where it is either mandatory or strongly incentivized. But the Tavern League did oppose that. The bill did go nowhere, and it will remain the top legislative priority of some of the anti-drunk driving forces.
And this is certainly a multifaceted issue. One underlying factor is quite possibly the drinking culture in Wisconsin. Has the state legislature considered other means of addressing the cultural aspect of what's behind the issue of drunk driving?
Not that I know of. And I think that's something that not just the legislature, but the entire society needs to be part of. Clearly, there is a culture in Wisconsin which tolerates drinking and which tolerates drinking and driving. Now, I suspect that that is being eroded, as it should be, but it's still tolerated to a frankly obnoxious extent in this state. And it does need to be the source of not just legislation, but also a more generalized focusing of resources and an insistence on people. I'm going to say something I hate when people say that it's not okay. It is not okay for us to continue to tolerate anybody putting others at risk because they insist on drinking and driving.
Mm-hmm. In our last minute here, what might we expect? Might we expect a different outcome in the next session?
It's hard to say. I think that what Senator Fitzgerald told me is that they are interested in monitoring the success or lack of the drug treatment courts, which they have, you know, funneled more money toward. There will be some of these proposals will be introduced again. They will be debated again. I don't know whether they'll stand a greater chance. We have both a governor and an attorney general who are not keen on the idea of making first offense drunk driving a crime in Wisconsin. So I'm not sure whether that it's likely that that will pass. But all of these issues will return because the drunk drivers have not gotten off of our roads.
Bill, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Bill Leaders, a reporter and Money and Politics Project Director for the Center, Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, which collaborates with Wisconsin Public Radio. His report last week examined why no new drunk driving legislation has passed the State House despite support for it.